All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by The Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I probably drank 3 bottles of coconut water when I was in Los Angeles.
I had one.
It was delicious, wasn't it?
Tasty.
You enjoy that?
Refreshing.
Sorry?
You enjoyed it?
It was refreshing.
How was the consistency?
Smooth.
Beautiful. Excellent. Wonderful. I told you, I'm all about it. Just no pulp.
Fair.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel refreshed. I feel rehydrated, although I'm very, very tired.
I feel like it's a very LA thing too, though.
Have a coconut water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably have all sorts of like special waters out there.
There were a bunch of weird ones. Like Liam got, what was that thing you got? It was a turmeric shot.
It was tamarack shot or whatever.
Turmeric
shot. Yeah. But I forgot about it when I needed it the most, and I had it Monday morning when I was perfectly fine.
So just like the health drink, the little.
Yeah. So I got it after we'll call it a busy Friday night. Mm-hmm. we went to the local store and I got a tub of watermelon, okay, on the way to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I got that shot and I left it in Tyler's bag the whole day. And then on the Monday when he emptied his bag, he gave it back to me and I couldn't open it. So I asked Tyler to open it and it fizzed all over him.
But I also feel like from my perspective, mm-hmm. outside party, no ties to the drink. I also feel like maybe Liam shook it purposefully knowing that it would fizz over like a pop would because Tyler spilled a full coffee on Liam's bed and bag.
Yeah, that was upsetting.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
There was barely any coffee on your bag.
It was everywhere.
There was like 2 drops and I cleaned it all up myself.
Did you spill it? Who else was going to clean it up?
You didn't offer him your bed after that?
As teammates, we're supposed to help each other out when we make mistakes.
I wasn't there.
That is true. You weren't there. I was there.
Yeah.
I watched it happen. I jumped to attention though.
You did see BM jumped in. He wasn't like idiot. Like some others.
I didn't call you an idiot.
Like you were flipping me off behind my back.
That might be, if we were doing hot performers today, that would be my hot performer of the week, but we're not. Instead, we're starting out with a shout out to our friends at Wendy's because I want a Cinnabon pull apart and a small coffee for $5 every day of my life. Liam, thoughts? Ooh,
sounds awesome.
Of course it is.
I'll have one as well.
Maybe a Baconator.
Ooh.
Spicy chicken sandwich.
Ah.
Hold on a second here.
Frosty.
I stopped there the other day. Actually, the other day was yesterday.
Tell me about it.
They have that French onion burger. I've seen the sign all the time.
How is it?
But it's fantastic. Picked up one of those in the Baconator. Great, great, great meal.
And? Now you can even download the Wendy's Rewards app.
Come on now. What does that get me?
Just eventually, as you keep eating Wendy's, you're going to unlock more free food. Simple as that, right?
Hot damn.
Free food.
Hot damn is great.
Take hard work and determination.
Mm-hmm.
What you need. What you need. Rick?
Mm-hmm.
Connoisseur of Wendy's, I'd say.
Great French fries. Love their chicken strips. Sometimes.
And the sizes. In an era of shrinkflation, Wendy's has big sizes.
May I suggest a large iced tea every time you go there? That thing is at least a gallon and a half. Please don't check my weight scales. It's large.
I'm a lemonade guy when I go to Wendy's.
Oh,
I love the idea of lemonade, but when I get to it, it's always too sweet for me.
Mm. I had a lemonade at the airport yesterday.
You did. You demolished that thing.
I get excited. So I'm like, yep, this is a good. And he three sips in. I'm like, oh, no, thank you.
They need like a half sweet.
You know what? And I don't know if I pour iced tea
in there, make a little homemade Arnold Palmer. Come on.
You guys just came out of the US.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got myself used to like their iced teas.
Down like south?
No sugar.
Literal cold tea.
Yeah. I mean, we used to sell like, I can't remember what iced teas in the grocery store. They don't do the no sweetness one anymore, but no, I would get that one. It was very good.
Some of them are pretty good. I used to get a green tea one all the time. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Had no sweetness in it. Down there, you got to ask for a sweet tea or else that's what you get.
Yeah. Yeah.
They serve the packets of sugar next to the drink.
How about, we were out on Friday.
Mm.
Thursday, sorry. And this really threw me for a loop. So we were out and we were having some drinks after we got there. And BM goes, I'll have a rum and coke, please. Spice rum and coke.
Oh my
Lord. Goes, is Fireball okay?
And Tyler went, Fireball?
Fireball's not rum. First of all, lady. Yeah.
I was just, and like the words came out like involuntarily. I was just
it was like
Fireball?
Yeah. I just, cause like, listen. I don't work in a bar, but I feel like, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, a rum and coke's a pretty standard order.
Very standard.
So I had to clarify, a dark rum and coke, please.
Fair enough. I mean, there's options when it comes to the rums. But in no way.
Fireball shouldn't be one of them.
Yeah. Fireball is not a rum. It's a whiskey.
What, do people ever and order no, a Fireball never seen anything?
I've never seen Fireball and coke.
Is there anything people will mix with Fireball?
Not off the top. I saw one person pour it in a sangria. She said it was good. Whatever.
Ew.
No,
that bar, it's like Frank's Red Hot Sauce. They put that shit on everything.
Yeah. Maybe like ginger ale would be okay in. A spicy ginger ale?
No, that makes sense. Maybe.
Ginger cinnamon.
That wasn't what I was fishing for.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were not looking for that.
Looking for that.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me.
I was very, again, Tyler was very funny when he just went, Fireball?
I'm sorry, lady, but you deserved it.
Yeah. Yep. Happens sometimes. We also watch a man send his steak back 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, it was insane.
So always too underdone?
I don't know.
Too far away to ask.
I also learned about a blue Chicago. Is that what it was called?
Chicago blue.
Chicago blue. Yeah.
Charred on the outside, blue right on the inside.
I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah. Yuck. You need a real hot grill to do that one.
Because
places can't do it properly. You need a fat, fat steak in order to do it.
Like, and you have to like steak? Touch it on the grill.
Yeah, yeah. So you want to get it like super duper hot. So it's like if your grill has to be like 800 degrees, you can get a couple good marks on it, flip it, turn it, and you're still blue rare on the middle. But like I said, you need a real thick one because you're going to cook 10% of the top and the bottom half. And so you want the middle to be still blue rare.
That's my case.
Not a very easy steak to pull off. And most places can't do it properly.
And Tyler, most people shouldn't eat it.
Well,
not terrible if it's done properly.
Okay.
I'm a blue rare steak guy.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And it depends on your cut too, though. Like a strip loin, I will, because the majority of the fat cap's down the side. But a ribeye with all the fat and the marbling in the middle, you can't do that at blue rare because you need to cook it to at least rare, medium rare to melt all that stuff. Otherwise, it'd be stringy and gross.
We'll learn about steaks today.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about burgers being asked how they get cooked?
So as long as it's kept properly, it's fine. And I would always take like medium rare, no problem.
Yep.
Yeah. It's something we don't do in Canada, but as long as you know where that ground beef comes from and it's not, it can be frozen, but you got to know where it comes from. You'll be fine. I mean, I've eaten steak tartare before. That's just ground up.
Steak tartare a bunch of times.
Yeah. That's just ground up filet.
Yep.
Raw filet.
We were discussing, this sounds like we were reliving the lunch we had where we're discussing all of this.
Yeah.
Cause Liam ordered a burger, asked, well, because we had already been talking about it, you were prepared.
Yeah. I just,
what'd you go with?
Medium.
That's fair.
Yeah. So it felt
right.
It felt cooked.
That's good.
Yeah. It tasted cooked. I'd say the burger wasn't that great. I'll give it a 6. It's a tough time.
We were waiting,
but it was,
for the
but
rings.
It wasn't because of how it was cooked. It was just the burger itself.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The burger itself, the meat was fine.
I also ordered a poke bowl and I got like, not guac. A poke bowl. I got like essentially guac with chips. It was very
really
confusing.
So they just like tear that seafood up.
Yeah. More or less.
Like, cause we like and nice, we like nice like chunks. We like nice yeah, chunks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. I've anyway, never seen it done like that.
I'd never seen it. Not what I expected. I ate it. You do what you do. Tyler,
yep.
Let's get this thing back on track.
Two-parter for you.
What is our delicious debate today? And when can I get a Cinnabon pull-apart at a $5 coffee?
Whenever you want. Answer to the second question.
Cool.
What is the delicious debate? It's a two-parter, gentlemen. And there'll probably be some overlap in our answers here, but that's fine. Which Oiler has been the most positive surprise through four games? And which Oiler have you not seen enough from through four games?
Let's try and make different people just to keep things a little bit interesting. Who wants to go first and take an easy one?
I'll take the easy one and say all the right. One that probably hasn't brought what I'd like to see is the one who's been out for last game and out for the next game is Sam Carrick. I think what he can do on the ice, what we need out of him on the ice is relatively easy to bring and he hasn't brought it.
Oh, you don't know what happened either. So continue on.
Hence the reason why he's not in the lineup anymore.
I am an honorary member of the Carrick family now.
Fair enough. Why is this?
Well, I met the Carrick parents on Friday night.
Oh, awesome.
Lovely people. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Jane Carrick.
I've been told I have some Carrick syrup coming my way.
Well,
maybe that'll change my mind when I get it.
Listen, as an honorary Carrick, I resent that. Mm.
But hey, listen, you just got to go out there and bang bodies and and he really wasn't. And
DR played well on Sunday.
See, and to me, DR played well, but only because you really didn't notice him in any good or bad way.
Oh, I noticed him in a good way.
How so? What'd you see?
He made that great pass off the boards to Dylan Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
He was out there a lot, actually, in pretty crucial minutes in the defensive zone, like that fourth line in general, I thought was very trusted. So I think as a collective group, I would say Derek Ryan played well.
Yeah, but he didn't like stand out. Like there was that's what he wanted that role,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what he wanted, Derek.
And totally. At the same time, there was also somebody else out there when he wasn't out there, somebody else was out there, and I've been screaming to keep him in the lineup as much as you've been trying to get him out of the lineup.
Me?
Yes.
Adam Ernie's back?
No. Janmark. If you notice, you were trying to get rid of Janmark months ago.
No. I'm pro Janmark.
We were all turning on Tyler, by the way.
Are we?
In LA.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a Janmark guy.
I've liked I don't hate any player.
You sent him to Guantanamo Bay.
Because earlier in the season, he deserved it. Right now, he's playing good enough to be in the lineup. He should not come out of the lineup for Connor Brown. He shouldn't come out for anyone that's currently out of the scratch.
His sentence is what you actually
said. But he's not producing any more offense right now. But before, when he wasn't producing offense, that was what the prevailing opinion was, we need someone to produce more offense. He's still not producing that offense, but he's still playing the same type of game is what the way I see it. And I was always, you need those type of players.
He had a multi-point game already in this series.
I don't remember the question again. What was the question?
He would have had three assists if Cody Ceci had anything on his hands, anything.
The question was, who has been the most surprising player and who
on both sides, the good and the bad.
Yeah. And who do you need to see more from?
All right, Dan, you got an answer down there?
I do. Which one are we doing first though?
Either one.
Your choice.
Oh, okay. Give them both.
The one that I've been the most surprised with, and I know it's like weird to say, but I didn't expect him to have this many goals this far, is Zach Hyman. Mm. He's just been absolutely lights out, money on the spot. I know McDavid has set up most of them, but Zach Hyman just absolutely making Editor Leaf regret every single tweet that they've sent out ever.
Liam, you got an answer?
Most surprising. I think Dylan Holloway has been the most surprising for me because I didn't know what impact he was going to have playing on the fourth line. So I think he's done really well. Obviously, two goals and what came is a loss, but if the others didn't get those two goals, then they weren't even in the game. So I think he's played really well. I think all four games he's been consistently physical and engaged, and now he's obviously in the opportunity to go and play on the third line with, what is it, McLeod and Perry?
Yes.
I think he's deservedly back in the spot that he should be in. I actually think the way the lineup is today, and I'm sure we'll get into it, is probably the right decision in on all fronts in the forward group.
Yeah.
I want to give some love to Big Vin. I think he's been playing really sound defense. I think that his decision-making with the puck is significantly better than it was last year in the playoffs. And he's gotten plenty of at-bats this season. He's playing some really solid hockey. The double headlock picture that I'm sure you've all seen is one of the great joys in my life right now. So just want to give some love to Vinny. I thought he's been great.
His shots against per 60 at 5-on-5 when he's on the ice is better than both Nurse and CeCe. And compared to his number in the regular season, it's actually pretty much about the same. So yeah, Vinny's been solid.
So yeah, I wouldn't say it. To me, it's not as much of a surprise because it's kind of what I've expected.
Sorry, it is much lower in the playoffs.
I just think that like last year I had issues with Vin in the playoffs, which is some of his puck choices.
And that's fair. But I mean,
this year I don't.
There's been a whole regular season in between, right? Yeah, and I think in that regular season, I think you've seen a progression in him. And I know it was that tweet was sent to me and I've probably been floating ever since, but you guys saw what the tweet with
Ekholm.
Oh, my new best friend.
No, the one from Bob Stauffer.
Yeah, my new best friend.
Oh, is that? Oh, do you get your best buddies with him?
Oh, yeah.
He's a great dude, right? Mm-hmm. I love drinking that dude. Anyways, yeah, he said they expect him to be signed like 6 to 7 years.
I think he said they've talked about it or whatever. I think the quote kind of caught like wildfire and got out of hand. I think Bob's point was maybe that they're open to it and would explore it, not that it's like happening the day the season ends. Which is how I think I saw it being reposted on some like Oilers Instagram accounts, and it was like, whoa. Nothing signed.
I would have
no, nothing signed. However, I think that just tells you, that tells me that they want him. I know. Yeah. And they want him. I think he wants to be here. And I believe this is just a matter of time at this point.
I think I would have liked to hear the quote myself along with the context.
And not just the little snippet.
I think there's like...
Yeah. Like most things out there, there's more to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bob probably said a whole lot of stuff to get there and probably afterward. I would just like to hear that.
That's fair.
Like we got the potatoes. Yeah. What'd that steak look like?
I love you and I love Vin. You don't sign defensemen like that to 7-year contracts. I think that would be a mistake.
Why?
Because he is at best a 4 and he's already 27.
Okay, so that takes it at 33, but it guarantees. Now, when you sign someone to like 6 or 7, what it's going to do is help keep the AAV down, correct?
Maybe. I think in his case, if he wants to get money, he can go elsewhere and probably get, honestly, I think he could get a 3x3 from someone this summer. Would he sign a 7x1.9 in Edmonton over a 3x3 somewhere?
I think so.
But again,
when it comes to the team, and I understand what you're saying when it comes to the team. However, that contract in say 2-3 years, if it's not looking good anymore, it's extremely variable. It might be tradable, and we're adding $15 million to the salary cap in the next 5 years, next 3 years, anyways.
Yeah. So maybe I'll.
And then you can put him in the minors, and whammo! Now at 1 point, whatever comes off.
Yeah.
Now he's only $1 million. And in terms of keeping the AAV down, I think that's what you do.
So maybe I'll reword that.
A 26-year-old guy, I think you jump all over that. That guaranteed money, I think you sign that in a second.
So like the way I'll rephrase maybe what I was getting at was like, you know, a guy like Evan Bouchard, they signed him to a 2-year by $3.9 million deal. If there was an option for them to go 7 years by 3.9, I would have done it. Yeah, you're doing it in a heartbeat.
Obviously.
Like, you obviously want that term. With Vinny, if it's in the name of keeping the AAV down, I'm in. If it's a situation where he's like, yeah, I'll sign a 3x2.5 or I'll sign a 7x2.5, I'm doing the 3x2.5 over the 7x2.5. I don't want to take the risk of it becoming a burden when there's no savings. So yeah, if it's in the name of like keeping the AAV down,
let's just say 6 or 7 is on the table. Which side of the transaction do you think brought it up?
I think they both like each other enough that it's probably mutual, or it's an agent looking to try to get his client the bag. Which agent, what agent doesn't want his client to get a 7-year deal?
Because that agent also like, then gets also a bag. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I just also wonder on a thing like that, like would the Oilers let Old Dutch sign a deal like that in the last?
He's not in charge right now.
I think Jeff Jackson signs off on everything. Yes. So it's kind of like a
dual. Yeah, 100%.
It's kind of like, you know, when they gave Mikko that contract a week before Peter Chiarelli got fired and everyone's like, God, how did they let him sign that?
Was in on that because he made some very weird ones in those last 2 months.
Oh yeah. I'm saying Chiarelli is 100% in on it. I'm just saying like that has to go through like checks and approvals. It's not like Chiarelli just like did it at midnight, walked in the next day and was like, I forgot to tell you guys.
Bob walks in the next day and goes, what the fuck is this?
I'm not saying that.
It's like taking panics even in the first round?
Well, yeah. I think obviously Jeff Jackson has final approval, but yeah, you're right. Maybe they wouldn't let Ken Holland even touch a negotiation right now.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm
speculating.
I don't think Ken Holland is making those decisions.
Speculation, boys.
I didn't realize how small he is.
Kenneth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a small man. Small stature.
Him a fist bump outside of crypto.
But I don't think he was very large in his prime. And I think he's at the age where you start shrinking now.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
I wonder how small I'll get. 2.5 feet, probably.
Danny DeVito.
I'm very tiny. Ooh, that'd be great for me. Just buzz around tables, kicking people in the ankles. They wouldn't know who did it. But like, hey, get out of here. Anyway, anybody else stick out to you guys? Good or bad?
I'll do my good and bad. My good is Evan Bouchard. He is the only Oilers defenseman who's been on the ice for more goals for than goals against at 5v5. The shot attempt battle, he's winning when he's on the ice. He scored another clutch goal out of his, Jack Michaels had the tweet, out of his 5 career playoff goals. 3 of them are game winners for the Edmonton Oilers. He's not starting, like he's starting the most in the offensive zone out of everybody, but it's not like insanely higher. The lowest is Vinny at 40%. Offensive zone star percentage at 5-on-5. The highest is Bush at 43.75. Everyone else falls in there. So it's not like he's being given, you know, gift wrapped minutes or protected or whatever. He's going out there handling a massive workload and delivering for the Oilers. And as this year's gone on, he's just looked more and more and more and more like a guy who's going to be a legit top pairing defenseman for you. So Bush gets my pleasant surprise the way he's found a way to take his play up a little notch here in the playoffs.
But he's been really good defensively too. Well, not really good, but he's been better. He's like, he's taking care of his own. Yes. Yep.
I also like to see who took a run at him in the corner and he got spicy. Yeah. Mm. Who was that?
Was that Dubois?
Oh yeah. It was Dubois.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bouchard did not back down. So
yeah, I don't like that. He's never going to fight anyone, but like he's starting to show he's got a little bit of piss and vinegar in him.
He's not a small human being.
No, he's not.
No, he's not at all. Dad anger.
The other thing too, and I know there was that like Athletic article that was like, oh, teams are going to try like go after Evan Bouchard on their dump-ins because he can't retrieve pucks. I think what's kind of funny about that is with Bouchard, like the numbers show he's great at getting pucks out of his own end and puck retrievals and whatnot. And I feel like it's one of those like confirmation bias things where you sit there and you watch a game and in your head, and I'm not saying it's just the executives. I think there's Oilers fans who do this too, but like in your head, you're like, God, Bouchard's so soft on retrievals. Cause you remember, you know, the Nathan MacKinnon and the Austin Matthews plays, right?
And my counter is just like, or you, maybe you're going to say it is just like those two individuals are two of the best players in the NHL. So it's not like he's going in there against schlubs and they, you know,
also, I think it's like you sit and watch a game and Evan Bouchard goes back and successfully handles 10 retrievals. And then on the 11th one, he like gets beat out and you're like, God, see, that's why yeah, exactly. He sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little confirmation bias. So anyways, I wanted to give Bouch some love because I think he's been great.
I think that's just a natural conversation thing too. Like you're sitting there talking about it and you're actively thinking about your best defenseman. You're not sitting there going, oh, that was a great play. Oh, that was a great play. We just negatively tend to be, you know, people of gossip and
that. But that's just it. I mean, that's Darnell Nurse. Unfortunately, that dude's gonna dealt with that his whole career. He'll be solid. And there'll be one flop and all of a sudden that flop is what he is and everything. And people just absolutely shit on him for it.
That's why in LA we were calling him Simple Daryl because he was just making quiet, steady plays and played really solid.
When he plays simple, that's when he's at his best. So and that's when he puts up actually offensive points then too.
The one negative I will say, and I put the caveat in that it's only been 4 games, but we brought him in for his playoff acumen and we just haven't seen it yet, is Corey Perry. You know, he's been buzzing around the net here and there, but really hasn't been a storyline yet. I can't even think of a play where he's stood out.
He just brought the puck in front of the net. And I don't know if that was game two when he brought it up, the little toe drag in front of the net and maybe it was the last game because maybe it was Riddick who just kept the toe out of it.
Again, I'm saying all this with the expectation that he will come around and that it is coming. But just to start the playoffs, Perry has been not there.
I'm with you on that. Okay, I think he's been disappointing to me.
He's disappointing to me because he was the last leg of our group parlay that did not hit. And I'm upset about it.
We would have won $3,200.
Wow.
If he would have scored.
You want him on a goal?
No, listen, it was Jay's pick.
You talk to old man.
Come on. Yeah. Hold on a second here. We're good.
Yeah. That's old man down. No, there's nothing. The other, we hit the rest of it. No problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's was this a team decision?
Yeah, we each picked a leg.
The team has to stand up and go, "Hey guys, listen, we really can't accept this. Like, this is really going to hurt the team here."
Although, to be fair to Jay,
a Perry goal.
Game 4, he might have been the only one to hit his leg.
Yep.
He picked a Bouchard goal.
Everybody was in on the.
You guys are picking Vander goals.
Stuff, well, Jay wanted to juice up the parlay. That's where Jay goes.
Showing the two of you there for the last couple of days.
Why are you not sharing the wealth of
shots, 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 and shots?
Also, that's what I've been looking at. Like, again, he has been disappointing, Rick. Corey Perry. He hasn't been overly physical.
4 games, but
maybe first of all, we're up 3-1, so I don't think anyone's been disappointing.
Perry has been disappointed about the parlay.
That would disappoint me. I guarantee you that. Maybe he's not brought everything that we've seen him at his best as an Edmonton Oiler. However, I don't think he's done anything bad, and I think he looks kind of like at the beginning when he got here. What have you seen that was bad out of him?
2 dumb penalties.
He basically killed the momentum twice in the second period.
I don't think one player can kill the momentum, but please tell me how.
The penalties were bad.
2 penalties and took them off when they were controlling the game in the second period. You said you haven't seen anything negative out of him. I'm saying I saw 2 negative things in 1 period out of him.
All right. He's disappointing, man.
Get ready. Cause Perry's going to score a goal in game 4. And then next episode, we're going to have Rick being like, I remember 2 people in this podcast saying trade Perry.
I ain't disappointed anybody. We're up 3-1.
It's tough to make a transaction in the playoffs, but
it's fine. Whatever.
Warren Fogle. Another disappointing player.
3rd round pick, or would you give him up for less right now?
We can go for all you want. 3-1. I'm not disappointing anybody.
Can you buy him out in the playoffs?
To say guys haven't been playing well.
No, it's not.
That's 2 different things to me. It's hard to pick. That's 2 different things to me.
What?
Not playing well and being disappointed in their play is 2 different things. You can't expect everyone to be the greatest. You can't expect anyone to be at their best all the time. There's going to be ups and downs in it. And I think when they're downs, if their downs are within like a certain realm, that's fine. That's just going to happen. If their downs are outside that realm, then you can be disappointed. But I'm not there yet.
I agree. You're going to go through ups and downs in the playoffs with players. But Warren Fogle went from being this team's second line right winger to now playing on the 4th line.
Yeah, and
disappointing.
I think he's a 3rd line player, and he got to the 2nd line because he was on a hot streak.
Really well.
Because he was on a hot streak.
The 82 games isn't a hot streak.
No, but he wasn't a 2nd line player the whole time.
But he earned his way up there. And now
he was on his way
to the 4th line, which therefore is disappointing.
And I think that Dylan Holloway has more pushed his way into the 3rd line, which has put Fogle on the 4th, as opposed to Fogle playing his way down to the 4th.
Sure.
There's a difference to me that somebody's played their way ahead of you than you playing your way out of your position. But that's
disappointing.
That's fair.
I'm disappointed in...
Debated.
I'm disappointed in Stuart Skinner for allowing 1 goal in 2 games. That's unbelievable. Well, that's ridiculous. What kind of goaltending is that?
And people are still giving him shit for three goals in the first game. 2 that went across the crease off his own defenseman skate. Should have stopped those apparently.
Then the silly
stick break, and then the player in a fraction of a second tries to push it to a teammate, puts it in the middle, and a great shot.
I think Tyler said it really well on one of the shows we did down in LA, that goalies are going to have a bad game from time to time. And Stu would admit game 2 probably wasn't his, but man, the other 3, come on.
Yeah. The one I didn't really like in game 2 was how he handled the Doughty broken breakaway thing.
I did not like
that. I think I want him to hold his ground a little more with his paddle flat. I think that keeps the puck out of the net.
I think also if he doesn't keep the puck out of the net and it goes through him,
there's probably a penalty.
Goalie interference call is likely called.
Yeah,
I agree. That one was really weird. He felt very out of it. I know people were saying like maybe Nuge interfered with it, but also like it shouldn't have thrown him off that much.
No, and I think when you have and I'm not anything close to a goaltender, so I don't know, but if you're a goaltender, you see your forward coming behind, that if he decides to take off the go to a side, that your forward is going to go for the stick and take the puck at that point, you need to cover the middle. And if he veers off to the side, then your forward has, then your teammate has to do something to the stick. Cause I mean, it was Doughty, right? So he went to his own forehand, which makes it an easy stick lift.
maybe Stu just thought Nuge was going to pull off the back check steal again.
That's fair.
Safe relax bet. A little bit, you know? How dare he let in one goal in those two games in LA, though? I'm very disappointed in Stuart Skinner for being so handsome and so talented at his position.
He's let in one goal since Sportsnet put up the graphic that he allowed 27 of 28 shots into the net.
27 to 28. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I missed that one.
Sportsnet put up a graphic in game two that said, or maybe it was game three, that Connor McDavid hadn't scored a goal yet. Mm. Even though he had five assists in the first game.
But
that was the graphic they put up.
You know what, Dan? Now that I know that graphic came, I'm disappointed in Nobby for not pulling him.
There you go.
27 to 28.
Ridiculous.
Got to give the guy a mercy pull on a night like that. Come on.
Can't handle another that.
Sportsnet shout out. They listed at the end of the Bruins Leafs game four. Yeah. They said that the Bruins moved on and won the series.
No, that's today.
Yep. They were.
That's today that happens.
They must have got the script ahead of time.
I'm really interested to see what happens. If the game ends tonight, I want a full breakdown on Matthews.
Well, then we should talk about our friends at Boston Pizza and look around the NHL, shall we? Mm-hmm. It's been 30 years since a Canadian team has won the whole thing. And for some teams, a lot longer than that. What would it take for Canadian hockey fans to set aside their differences, work together to end this drought? Is it their team or nothing? Or could you get behind a rival under the right circumstances? Let's team up for the win with Boston Pizza.
Two of the four Canadian teams could be toast tonight, gentlemen.
I was just laughing about that to myself the other day, thinking about this promotion when Vancouver went down to their third string goaltender. I thought, uh-oh, Boston Pizza really got on board and we're going to be the rival that everybody has to pile on with. Mm, so great. It worked out for us, but looking like Vancouver may be able to pull this out.
Well, Nashville blew that so badly.
Yes. That's our new Patrick Stefan moment.
I don't think that's close. As bad because it was like he wasn't in all alone.
Yeah,
there's a backhand.
He also didn't have Ray Ferraro condoning him right afterwards and chiding him like a little boy. But
I don't like that Canada hasn't won in 30 years thing. That makes no sense to me.
Well, Batman rigged the league.
Yeah.
It's like how many Canadian players are winning these cups?
Yeah, of course.
Glasses.
And then you look at the Canadian with seven now, but for the longest time it was six teams.
Yeah.
Six out of 20. Like, come on. That's ridiculous.
Of course. But could you cheer for another Canadian team to go for the win?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Here's a great question. Let's say both Toronto and Winnipeg get bounced tonight. Try to look at this as objectively as possible.
Okay.
Who's more likable, the Canucks or the Oilers? Like from an outside fan perspective.
I think people really dislike Oilers fans.
I do too.
See, I think that's almost counteracted by the fact I think the everyday hockey fan would love to see Connor McDavid in a big moment.
I think Toronto fans are coming on board our bandwagon because they're insufferable. And I think everybody else will jump on Vancouver.
I think Vancouver, the team itself looks like the fun one. I don't think people like the fans. I agree. They probably don't like us either, but I think they want the Oilers to lose more because they were gifted these number ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also now the idea of Vancouver being down to a third string goalie.
Yep.
Which is like, oh, the back's up against the wall and they keep winning.
What's the word on DeSmith?
He's going to back up tonight, I think.
Frank thinks this is now a coach's play. They're choosing C-Loves.
Interesting.
DeSmith, I think outside of Edmonton, fans that saw him down the stretch weren't happy with his performance, Canucks fans in general. So it's understandable that they wanted to go to the X factor here, but a little bit weird.
Which fan base was it Toronto's fan base last year chatting, we want somebody in the last
quarter? Florida.
It was Florida.
And then you heard Vancouver fans.
Fuck the Oilers.
Yeah.
Playing with fire.
Rent free.
I just like, why are you thinking about that right now? Like we're thinking about it.
They're new to the playoffs. They're new to the playoffs. They're confused.
It's true.
Job's not
overwhelmed.
Still, I believe job gets done tomorrow.
Me too.
Still job not finished.
So Vancouver or Edmonton?
Edmonton.
Oh.
So how many of these series tonight? There's four of them, all elimination games. Let's make our bets. How many do you think end tonight?
Which games are there?
Carolina, New York, Boston, Toronto, obviously Vancouver, Nashville, and then Winnipeg, Colorado. Wait a minute,
Carolina, New York already going?
Yeah.
Oh, Islanders. Sorry, I was thinking the Rangers.
Yeah. Which is hilarious.
Stanley Cup favorite.
Which is hilarious because today on Owen Every Day, I asked Coombsy, who wins the award for series you don't give a shit about at all? And he was like, it's Carolina and the Islanders. And I was like, oh, it absolutely has to be. And the fact that you didn't even, like, again, you follow the sport very closely and you're like, they're starting, like, Islanders, irrelevant, so painfully irrelevant. They're cooked.
Sorry, Liam.
They have been for a while.
I will learn from this mistake.
I thought
they had something special there.
I think Toronto is going to have a really hard time winning in Boston. I think they're done.
I think the only team that isn't going to lose tonight and be eliminated is the Predators.
I think the Predators in Toronto. Like, we had Nicole Berger on Oilers Nation Every Day today, and even he was saying, he's like, they do this all the time. Like, they will just make you feel like shit and then pull you all the way back in with two wins, and you go to game seven and lose again.
Like, I also heard a stat that Boston's really bad in game fives. That is from...
But isn't Matthews also questionable today?
No, he's out.
He's out.
Oh. Chris Johnson reporting he's on, like, lead to play tonight, yeah.
So...
And like I said, that's what I want to see what this is, because in the NHL, I mean, it was a couple of years ago that when the Bruins won, Patrice Bergeron had a punctured lung, had like a broken something and something like
decapitated.
Bro, he had three legit injuries that put the 98% of us on our couch for quite some time and take out most athletes out of their individual sport. Played through it. But to have a doctor pull you out of the second period or the third period because of an illness in hockey is unfathomable. I don't think Austin Matthews is like that soft or something like that. I do think it would take a lot to get him out. I would be blown away if this is an actual illness. I want to know more.
It is weird. And again, Nicole Berger said this, like there's so much, like so many questions around it. It's making Matthews and Nylander look worse. You know,
if you just came out and said what Matthews was dealing with, probably smarter.
It's probably just better than being like,
and especially sick. If Nylander did have, let's just say it was migraines, put it together, a concussion-like symptoms, bang, done. No one's saying a goddamn word anymore.
Yeah. Cause now it looks like, oh, those guys played 82 games, chased their goals for the season, got to the playoffs where they don't get paid. And are now like, fuck you. I'm not playing.
It actually looks even worse because they have that video of those guys yelling at each other on the bench. Yeah. Then that period ends and Austin's like, nope, doesn't come back out to the third. That looks, I can't wrap my head around it. I don't know what to think here. I need this series to end and I need answers because this does not happen in hockey.
The illness thing doesn't jive.
Doesn't.
No, it's playoff hockey.
It doesn't jive. Like,
no,
I don't believe for a second Matthews would be like, oh, I got a sore tum-tum. I got to come out. Like, there's no way.
And that's just it. It's not Matthews pulled him. The doctors pulled him out because of an illness. Is what they've said. That's the wording. Doctors pulled him out because of an illness.
Yeah, it's weird. Weird sitch.
And did he look like he had a red nose when he's sitting on the bench? Like he's blowing his nose all the time? No. The
sniffles.
Yeah, that obviously wasn't it. Mm. There's more to it than that, and I'm curious.
Before
I worry about that, tomorrow game.
Austin Matthews out game five with crumb bum. He's got a poopers. Can't stop.
Hasn't he seen that Pepto-Bismol commercial?
Yeah, come on. It's got a song and everything.
Probably get some money out of that.
So what? Real quick, predictions tonight, game five. Maple Leafs, Bruins.
I'm going to say Leafs.
I'm going to say the Leafs win.
Yeah, me too. I think they're a team that likes to twist the knife a little in their fan base before they die. So I think...
They want
to
lose at home?
I think they're going to tease them and lose at home, yeah.
I think the Bruins win 4-1.
I told our boy JD McNamara, who works with us, I will not cheer against the Leafs because he promised to cheer for the Oilers.
I'm saying this partially because I don't want to put any bad karma against the game tomorrow.
Of course. I'm saying it's a hard
like
game.
Like there's people in the bar that are like Boston scores and they cheer.
No,
I won't say a dang word.
Me neither. Me and you are the same thing. Like
not saying a dang word. Nope. And Vancouver, same thing.
Job's not
whatever
done.
Whatever happens, happens.
Job's not done. How about the Islanders and Hurricanes? Liam, I'm going to turn this over to you. As you know,
interesting.
Islanders are Liam's Stanley Cup pick.
I think this one's probably done
in Carolina.
Yeah. I just, you know, like I understand the decision to start Varlamov, but sometimes, and this isn't just the Islanders, decisions are made. I feel like you're overthinking this quite a bit. And the Kings did it in game one where they tried to like spread out their offense and then quickly realized in game two, oh yeah, Kopitar, Kempe, and Byfield are a really good line and could win a game for us, which they did. And now for the Islanders, like not start Sorokin for the first two games. And now he comes in, doesn't do well in game three, but wins game four for them. And it's just, they kind of shot themselves in the thought. So I think it's either going to overtime and the Islanders win, or Carolina just smokes them.
Anybody else?
I think I have the Islanders in this one. They're just going to somehow.
The Islanders?
This the one game.
I'm with you.
This Islanders. One game.
Patrick Waugh suits up, jumps more. In there. He goes, curveball. I'm starting.
That's another.
We were the New York Islanders many times from like 96 to 04 ish. Yeah. I can see us pulling this one out.
Dan?
And you hate the Hurricanes.
The Islanders are losing tonight. It's going to be a quick exit for the Hurricanes.
I think. Our friends at Boston Pizza, we were looking around the playoffs.
Playoffs.
See what's going on. Playoffs. How about the Winnipeg Jets hosting the Avalanche tonight? That is game 5 elimination night in Winnipeg.
I think the Jets, that crowd will fuel them a little bit.
I think the Jets get this one tonight.
I think that too. But are we fooling ourselves a little bit?
Yes.
Yes. Colorado's steamrolling
them. Single game.
Colorado's steamrolling them right now. They have, they're feeling it. And it's funny. We want to like, be so mad at Skinner for what he's doing. Hell, it looks like a trash.
I think they're done. Actually.
They're done.
It's got to be frustrating to be a Jets fan. Everybody, I think, in the West, at least going into this playoffs, would have told you, shoot the puck at Colorado and see what happens. And Winnipeg even did that in game 1, and they found out what happens. And then they didn't continue to do that in games 2, 3, and 4.
They can't stop that offense.
They deserve every bit of what they're getting. And I don't think they win tonight.
The crazy part about this series is, so they played 4 times this year, and I believe Colorado led in those 4 games for no more than 10 minutes collectively. Winnipeg smoked him every single game. Right before the playoffs started, they lost 7-0 in Winnipeg. And it looked like he was kind of going to be like that again in game 1, where Winnipeg scored 7 again. I know it's very different, but it's crazy how it's kind of...
There was that type of a stat in the NBA, though, when the Lakers game, they were down 3-0 and the game was almost over. They had been leading for like 140 some odd minutes, been losing for like 30 minutes and tied for whatever the hell, 15-ish. Yeah. And they were winning for 140. And they were down 0-3.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me, but yeah. There's just too much offense, and Colorado's too much offense. And that goal by Cale Makar yesterday, the other day was
ridiculous.
Not insane. Best defense since Bobby Orr.
To me, it looks like the Calgary Edmonton series for me a few years ago, where Calgary comes out and just stays with us, hangs with us offensively. And then they decided, or they figured out that they couldn't hang with them for the rest of the series. And that was it.
Last series of the night, we've got the Preds in Vancouver to take on the Canucks. Tyler, what you got?
I got the Canucks in this one. I just think they haven't played a good game yet. They're due to have a better performance than they've had in any of the first 4, honestly. Like, they're not getting shots through, haven't looked very dangerous offensively. So I think the Canucks are due for a good performance. Back on home ice helps. Also, you think about like the motivation of like, we don't want to have to fly, you know, 8-9 hours total. Round trip again. So they're also banged up.
Nashville's such a nice city to hang out in.
I know. It's great. I think the Canucks finish it off. That was my point.
I think the Canucks win it too. I think that last 3 minutes of the game, last game in the regulation time anyways, really put a dagger to them. I don't think Nashville has the offense. Vancouver has the offense to obviously be down a couple with a couple minutes to go and still have somehow to beat you. And I think Saros just doesn't have that Saros in him right now to keep the puck out of the net.
Liam?
I'm going to say the Predators win.
I'm going to say the Preds win too, and then ultimately Vancouver closes it out in Nashville.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment too. I think that tonight Saros probably just comes out and stands on his head and shuts him down. And
I just think that for a team like Vancouver who hasn't been in the playoffs for a minute, it's that fourth win that's always the toughest one to get.
The death blow.
I just think Nashville's dejected.
I agree,
and they should be.
Yes.
You had that in the bag.
Yes. Yeah. And then the other one last night, wild that the Stars Golden Knights is tied too. Like, wild.
Well, the wild thing is that there's two away wins.
That happened a few years ago with Carolina versus, in my advice, you've been the Islanders.
I think you're right.
Where they just, neither team could win at home. Like every single game was won by the road team, besides game 7, which was won by Carolina.
Yeah, and then Carolina finally won game 7.
All I care is that thing goes 7.
Yeah, beat each other up.
I will not cheer because there's a gun to my head. I will not cheer for Dallas. If I want revenge against what happened last year, I would rather go through Vegas and do it ourselves and have someone else do it for us. So, But I, yeah, there you will not find me cheering for Dallas at any given.
How about the like opening minutes where
those two big hits,
massive hits,
love it.
Those are like best buddies,
and Jamie Benn and McNabb.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. So obviously the game was in Vegas last night, and if you look in the front in the crowd, there's a guy wearing 89, which I guess would be an Alex Tuck jersey, and he stands up and celebrates the McNabb hit. And then when Jamie Benn blows up McNabb, he like calls for a penalty.
Yeah.
It's just, of course,
sports
duality.
Listen,
yeah.
We watched LA Kings fans yell shoot from their own end. So who knows what's going on down
Tampa
there.
Tampa Bay fans were screaming about the referees last night.
They should have. That second, that
last few years,
that second goalie callback was silly. The first one is a little soft, but kind of by the rule book, it has to go that way. And the second one, I don't know about that, man.
There you go. Round the NHL for our friends at Boston Pizza. Team up for the win. Go in there, get some Bandera pizza bread, maybe a monster cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Or what'd you say? Boston Brute?
Boston Brute, extra meat, then a dipping in the meat sauce.
Delightful. That's good living.
Yeah, it's good living.
Great living. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to bring Waz in to clear up some things for our boy.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
If you're looking for a trusted professional fence company here in Alberta that can do it all, you count on DuraGuard Fence Limited. For 37 years, they have been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself options. The most highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment here in Alberta, DuraGuard Fence is your one-stop shop. One-stop fence shop for over 37 years for chain link, wood, vinyl, and ornamental fencing. For more information and to request a quote, go to DuraGuardFence.ca. And now I turn the microphone over to Young Waz for, can you clear that up for me?
Let's get it.
All right.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. clear this up for me. Ryan McLeod, some will view him as invisible so far in the playoffs. However, after reading Bruce Kerlock's tactical reviews on OilersNation.com, is it fair to say that there are parts to hockey that some fans just can't comprehend? I'm seeing people say,
yes, and that's me.
There's sometimes I'm seeing, I'm like, I don't know what this guy's doing, but then I read the article, it's like, holy shit, he's actually doing something important.
Yes. The answer is yes.
I think with McLeod specifically, like we can go back to last year and Bruce brings this up or brought this up on ON every day too. Like the first two games of that Vegas series, Jack Eichel got nothing going because Ryan McLeod was on the ice. And then you look at this year and he hasn't been on the ice for a goal scored at 5-on-5, but the goals against at 5-on-5 aren't that high. I think he's been on the ice for exactly one so far in this series. And I think it was even a garbage time goal. So like, I think he's positionally so sound from the red line back to his own goal line. And I think a lot of people, myself included at times, get frustrated with other things he does, but that doesn't mean you can't recognize just how damn good he is at always being in the right spot in his own end.
Another thing that Bruce brought up on your show, cause I was just listening into him chat, is if you're older, Todd Marchand. You can remember to 2006, Rick. You think about how when Mike Pekka, how well he played at shutting down the other team as that third line center. He didn't score a ton of goals in that run, but he was very, very effective on the defensive side.
I think you see McLeod start to focus on his defensive game and the amount of breakouts he's able to break up by just doing that little scooting past the blue line, stick his stick out. There's a lot of times. You go watch for that.
Yeah, but Waz, your statement that we kind of laughed at, right. I think is very true, though, I think, about most fans, because they just really understand the tangible things, the goals, the shots, the things that they can point at during the game and after the game and say that those are good things. It's when you get into the minutiae and the things that you don't maybe necessarily understand unless you're looking at the numbers or you've played the game yourself that fans, the casual fan, doesn't necessarily understand.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit more of an advanced side. Liam, do you have a take?
No.
Okay, good to know.
The scout coming across that, though.
He did say
is
something.
He comparable to Andrew Cogliano? McLeod?
Todd Marchand? Sure. Like, yes, there's a whole bunch of centermen that you could go back to in our history and say, yep, he's a part of that build.
And Cogliano would have been a guy who you thought was going to be an offensive guy who had to like accept the fact and swallow it and go, okay, now I got to like focus on D because that's where I'm utilized.
And nobody would talk about Todd Marchand if it wasn't for that overtime goal.
Everybody because guy had 1,000 breakaways and scored once.
Yeah. So
it's more than that, by the way. That was the prevailing opinion against him.
On top of that, with McLeod, some fans will think, well, since he doesn't hit, he's bad. Does every player need to be physical to be successful in the playoffs?
No. No, but I do think you need to go out of your comfort zone and make body contact. I'm not saying he hasn't this year, but when it comes to the playoff, you need to go and finish your checks 98% of the time.
I'll say he hasn't this year.
I just say, like, you see a guy like Connor who's Connor's physical, but like he's not somebody who regularly blows people up. Connor's being way more physical in the playoffs. And when you see your captain do it, I'd like to see McLeod buy in a little bit. Maybe we got to lock him in a cage and poke him with a stick a couple of times just to anger up the blood a little bit. But he does a lot of great things in the two-way side of the game. I'd like a little more bite there.
Yeah, I think me too.
I think that's a good point too. And it's somewhere between McDavid currently in his physicality and Ovechkin when he first came into the league and he was throwing the body around at everybody. I just want that from every player on the ice. If you've got a skill guy out there throwing the body around, why can't the role players do that too a little bit?
All right, next up here, clear this up for me. Do we read too much into the line pairings? For example, the lines came out today and people are like, oh, Fogg's getting demoted. I feel the lineup ends up changing a bit anyways mid-game. They never stay the same.
I think this is clearly a message that Fogle is being, pushed down behind Holloway on the depth chart. But I agree. Like if Holloway isn't playing well for the first period, they'll put Fogle right back there.
I think I don't know. Like, I don't think we do read too much into it because
sometimes yes, but this time no.
In the playoffs, I don't think so. Maybe in the regular season.
Yeah. Sometimes yes, but I still think Holloway is grabbing a spot and pulled himself there.
Well, you look at the guys who have jumped Fogle, like Kane's played exceptionally well. I would say all four games he's played really.
But
well.
I only think like one or two guys have actually jumped Fogle.
But the
Henrique is one and Holloway is one. Kane has always been ahead of Fogle.
But he wasn't.
Well, that's because Kane played his way down. But normally when things are normal,
his way up.
Yeah, but that's normal for him. That's his neutral.
But there was a time because I wrote the GDB. It was on for the Friday game where originally Kane was slotted in on the fourth line. Yeah. Played so damn well, you can't keep him down there. Moved on up.
And I just like that from Knobloch.
Nobby,
not given.
Exactly.
Both ways.
Nobby's doing a really good job of accountability with his ice time, I think.
I totally agree.
I don't know if I'm out of left field here, but I just feel like fans having great resources available to them, like Daily Faceoff, and being able to see that lineup every single night, I think has skewed this conversation a little bit. Because the conversation that just happened between Rick and Liam is more of what I grew up knowing as lines. You don't necessarily know the lines going into every single game because the head coach is going to blend it every once in a while. But because we have that resource now, we can see how long
each fourth line used to be. Fourth line used to be like a bad thing.
Yes. And it used to be,
it isn't necessarily a bad thing anymore.
And it used to play, be a character guy. Guys that would only see the PK time might get a couple minutes on that.
Or fisticuffs.
Yeah. It's just a different beast nowadays with the internet and everything.
Thank you for clearing that up for me. I just heard some sirens outside. I'm going to leave now.
Thank you.
Waz, you live in the area.
He's going to go hide under a table. He's worried.
He protects us.
Or they're
looking for you, Eminem.
That's what I was going to say. They're looking for Waz.
You know what? One thing I noticed that I was really a huge fan of when it comes to Knobloch is the middle finger he gave out, and he played PP1 when we were up 5-1.
Yes.
Always. I love Woody, but there is 0% chance Woody ever would have done that.
No mercy. Do you know what's funny about that?
Goal for the throat. That's Bill Belichick shit.
So we were, the three of us, BM, Tyler, and I were obviously at that game. And when Drysdale scored, no one reacted. It was very strange.
Our team?
Yeah. The fans. Because he just came in and bounced immediately out. I think the girl next to you
happened too fast.
He said, like, what happened?
Happened too fast for them.
Pardon?
Happened too fast for them.
It did, because we were also on the other end.
Did you see the audio clips of like them talking? Them like,
oh yeah,
that was awesome.
Actually, so one good. That just came out.
Can't cover it.
Evander Kane talking to the refs about when he was slew footed in game three.
That Blake Lizotte play on Kane is so dangerous.
So I didn't see. It wasn't. You can't really see if his foot goes there, but he definitely does the left arm pull the shoulder back.
Yes.
Thing.
Are we shocked though after we saw what got let go in game one?
No, but that's what you have. That's what LA has to do in order to beat the Edmonton Oilers. They have to get out there and play a greasy style. And the Oilers are going to have to accept the fact that sometimes it's going to happen. And they're going to have to just play through it. And I think they have. And that's why it's 3-1.
Last thing I wanted to bring up before we wrap up the Tuesday episode of Oilers Nation Radio. Our boy Woody, he popped up. I just want to read the quote, just get everybody's take. He was asked kind of, have you watched the Oilers in the playoffs? He says, I haven't watched much of Edmonton Oilers since I was let go.
Fair.
I got some great advice from some mentors around the league that I've worked with and some that I didn't work with. And they said, you've been doing this for 20 years or so. You've been doing this for 20 straight years or so, going 100 miles an hour. It's okay to take a deep breath and spend some quality time with your family. That's something I really dug into.
Do you believe he's telling the truth when it comes to not paying attention to the Oilers at all?
Yes.
I bet what happened was he did do that, but I bet he tried to jump in at one point and watch, and he was just kind of like,
because they're playing,
and then don't back out of it.
So I was never, we woke up the next morning and I was never expecting your text that, hey, listen, you know, it happened. Let's do the show right now. I thought after that win, he would just bought himself some more time and things were going to smooth themselves out and blah, blah, blah. I was a little surprised it happened. I do like some of the things that Knobloch's brought that he doesn't do in terms of that up by 5-1, keeping power play one out there. He's going for the throat. Nobby wouldn't have done that. Woody just wouldn't have done that.
Continuing
that wasn't
on,
his way.
I've spent a lot more time studying the league and studying trends that are occurring in the league. For me, I've spent a lot more time during the playoffs watching the Eastern Conference.
Now, does that mean that he's had a talk with an Eastern team or two?
Maybe.
Probably.
So a lot of teams who are going to need head coaches this summer.
Seems like.
Yeah, almost all of them.
It could be as many as 10 by the time the dust settles.
16 coaches fired last year.
In the last calendar year, right?
But hey, Woody.
This season.
Really?
Yeah. Kicking off with Mike Babcock. Closing out with that other guy.
Oh my God. I forgot Mike Babcock was a coach this year.
Yeah.
Hey, Woody, if you're studying the league, how about that Oilers series? It's going well.
I think I understand you probably are very upset with the upper management.
Sure.
But you have a love for the players. And I think it would be very difficult not to watch and cheer for. There's got to be a couple of guys on the team that he feels for. I mean, you're getting that father-son type of mentality.
Of course.
You're going to be watching. You're not going to admit it. And you probably are sour, as he should be.
I don't think he is watching, to be honest. I think he's just going to check in afterwards. And you're right. I don't think he's actively I'm not going to think of Connor and Leon and those guys. But I think he checks the newspaper the next morning or the website the next morning.
When it's a national game on TNT,
the AM radio.
Wednesday night, when it's a national game on TNT and it's the only game on at whatever time.
Yeah.
It's maybe, probably on. But I get it. I would be the same way. And I know, I think it's, people have actually gotten upset with the way he said things.
What Rick is saying is if he ever gets kicked off the show, he's never listening to it.
Ever.
It's like you never say your ex is super hot, you know? Especially when you're looking for a new lady, right?
No, that team did get better without me as a head
coach. I'm just thinking out loud.
There.
Applying it to a different scenario of life, maybe? Hey, girl. How you doing? Ex is looking pretty fine right now. Can't do it. I feel for you, Woody. 100%. Anything else, gents? Final thoughts?
I hope he finds a job this summer.
Then let's wrap up with a score prediction. Tomorrow night, game five, we got a 4-2 win coming at Rogers Place, Rick.
I want to say 5-1, but I'm terrified LA is going to try and do the same thing. It's going to be low scoring, but I'm going to stick with 5-1.
5-1 with the fifth goal being an empty netter.
I'm going to say 4-2.
4 minutes and 30 seconds ago.
Welcome, Thanks. Dan.
3-2 overtime Edmonton Oilers victory.
Oh, that would be so electric.
God, I would hate that. My cardiologist is not going to like you.
Stressed out.
Get ready for it.
Well,
what was your high? You got the Apple Watch. How many? What was the highest during the game?
Oh,
I hit $150.
Mine went up to like 135, 140. Yeah, yeah. And it like at one point it flashes like, are you working out right now? It's like, no.
Mine's like, do you need help?
Nope, not working out. Just, well.
It's playoffs.
It's playoffs. Manage your game day stress, everybody. We got elimination day coming up tomorrow.
There is a lot of
sirens still going.
Yeah, so.
Talk to you on Friday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.